From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns has just begun a series of studies in the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will take us from Christ's baptism through His sacrificial death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, It Will Not Be Long. The text is James chapter 5 and verse 8. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The last word in the Canticle of Love is, Make haste, my beloved. And among the last words of the Apocalypse we read, The Spirit and the Bride say, Come, to which the heavenly Bridegroom answers, Surely I come quickly. Love longs for the glorious appearing of the Lord, and enjoys this sweet promise, The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. This stays our minds as to the future. We look out with hope through this window. This sacred window of agate lets in a flood of light upon the present, and puts us into fine condition for the immediate work or for suffering. Are we tried? Then the nearness of our joy whispers patience. Are we growing weary because we do not see the harvest of our seed sowing? Again, this glorious truth cries to us, Be patient. Do our multiplied temptations cause us in the least to waver? Then the assurance that before long the Lord will be here preaches to us from this text, Establish your hearts. Be firm, be stable, be constant, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Soon will you hear the silver trumpets which announce the coming of your King. Be not in the least afraid. Hold the fort, for He is coming. Yea, He may appear this very day.
At morn, when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from
Jesus rejected us. shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues this series on the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as he brings the next portion of a message called Christ's Greatness and Glory in Calling the First Disciples. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, Christ began the gathering of the men to be with him in his ministry. Many were attracted to the preaching of John the Baptist, including Andrew and probably John, who became known as the beloved disciple. The greatness of Christ is seen in the Baptist testimony of him as recorded in that first chapter of John. This included Christ's precedence over John, his pre-existence, his power to baptize with the Holy Ghost. In other words, Christ as the Son of God. Jesus accepted all that John had said of him, proving that he was the promised Messiah. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Christ's greatness and glory in calling the first disciples.
Oh, let's get this. This is never out of date. Not the surroundings, but the Savior. How many of us could say the same? There are people so taken up with the kind of building they worship in, the architecture, what they see and what they hear, so taken up with that, that they really never come to meet with the Lord Jesus. It was what they saw in Him, it was what they heard from Him that made these people disciples. What disciples? Andrew immediately went and found Simon. Now the fact that he could do that in Judea tells you that Simon had also come down on presumably the very same mission as Andrew and John, to hear John the Baptist. But for some reason he was not with John when he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." So Andrew first went and found Simon. It's a beautiful picture that you have there in verse 41 and 42. It's one that we would all do well to emulate in our own lives. He had just met the Messiah. He had just come to know the Christ. He was just convinced this is the Christ of God. What does he do? Sit down and have a theological argument. No, first of all, he's going to learn a whole lot of theology as he sits at the feet of Jesus. But first of all, he doesn't need a PhD in theology before he becomes an evangelist. He knows enough to say, "I have found the Christ," and he goes after the nearest and dearest on earth to him. He goes after his own brother. I can't let him go on in darkness. I can't let him go on in ignorance. I can't let him go on looking in some other place. I can tell him, "We have found the Christ." And what a beautiful statement it is. And he brought him to Jesus. And he brought him to Jesus. The Lord Jesus perfectly read Simon's nature when he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah." He said, "Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, the AV has a stone. I think what we read later makes it clear that it should simply read by interpretation, that is Peter. It was meant as a name here, as it comes up later on in the reading. It's an Aramaic word, means the same as Peter, it means a stone. We'll deal with that in due course, but the Lord was reading the very heart of Simon. Then another Galilean appears to have come down to hear John and was on his way home, or thinking of going home. His name was Philip of Bethsaida. And the Lord Jesus must have gone looking for him. We read concerning him that he found Philip. No accidental meeting. He found Philip. And he said, "Follow me." In other words, Philip was the first disciple ever to hear the words from Christ, "Follow me." Wasn't Peter and Andrew, it wasn't James and John. The first one recorded to hear the words, "Follow me," was Philip of Bethsaida. And again, as soon as he started to follow Christ, as soon as he was convinced of who he was, he at once found Nathanael. Now, Nathanael was more than a little skeptical about the Lord Jesus. You hear the sneer in his voice, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And again, "Come and see." I don't want to be preaching about the apostles this morning, but there's a whole lot of very down-to-earth wisdom there. When you're witnessing to sinners, you usually waste your time arguing with them. Get them to Christ. Get them to Christ. This fellow was ready for an argument about Nazareth, which was very clearly not a very salubrious place. And the Nazarenes were not very nice people. When you go on to read later in the ministry of Christ what they did or tried to do to him, you'll see that they weren't very nice people at all. "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Well, come and see. And so he came and as he met with Christ, verse 47 through 49, he also was immediately convinced. Now, Christ had gathered five disciples around him, and on he set on his way to Galilee. Now, we want to stop before he gets to Galilee just to look at this event. Because what convinced these five men that he was indeed the Messiah was the persuasive way in which he made himself known to them. I want you to understand this. What he revealed of himself to them, that's always the key. They didn't only learn so many scriptures. I have no doubt they did learn some of those. They didn't only learn how to take Old Testament prophecy and bring it now to a New Testament fulfillment. Again, they started to learn that. It's obvious from their writings. But first of all, they learned Christ. That was the first thing. It's what he revealed of himself. And in revealing himself to them, he does the same to us. I want us today, as we look at these verses, to think simply of the greatness and the glory of Christ as it's revealed in his calling of the first disciples. 2 points, his greatness and his glory. Now that makes you feel good. He's bound to be brief with only 2 points. But the old hands know that that flatters to deceive. His greatness as revealed in calling his first disciples. Now that's witnessed in many ways. As I looked at this, I came to realize, first and foremost, that the Lord Jesus Christ fully acknowledged and accepted the truth of all that John the Baptist had just said about him. Now remember the context. These were the disciples of John, and they were coming after Christ. They had heard what John had been saying about him, and Jesus fully acknowledged the truth of all John's testimony. Now consider what John had said about the Lord Jesus. Consider what Jesus himself, therefore, received to be true. First of all, John the Baptist attributes precedence to Christ over himself. Verse 15 of John's Gospel, chapter 1. John bare witness and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I speak, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me." Notice, "is preferred before me." He that cometh after me, that's in point of time and history. John was born first. He was some months older. His public ministry commenced earlier. Jesus came after him. But John says, he has the precedence over me and before me. That is the meaning of what he is saying here. Verse 27 again. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet, or the laces of whose sandals I am not worthy to unloose." And then verse 30, again, "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me." He has the precedence over me. It's interesting that "after me cometh a man" is emphasizing "after me cometh a meal." And I think it ties in with those scriptures that deal, say, in Ephesians 5, with the headship of a man in the marriage relationship. And the same term is used here with the idea of emphasizing the headship of Christ over John the Baptist. His precedence. That's what's always being emphasized here. He has the precedence. And that's why Jesus immediately could say, "Follow me. Follow me. I am the head. I do have the precedence. I am preferred over John the Baptist." Emphasize the "me." Follow me. You came down to follow John the Baptist. Well, follow me. Not that Jesus would demean the ministry of John. No, he greatly glorified the ministry of John. But John's work was to lead people to Christ. Do not follow the finger post unless it's just to follow how he's pointing to Christ himself. Don't stay with John. Follow me. Jesus had the preeminence. Secondly, John attributes not only precedence to Christ, but he attributes pre-existence to Christ. In verse 15 again, he said he has the precedence over me, even though he's in human terms younger, and he's come after me as to his ministry, yet he has the precedence. Why? Because he was before me. He was before me. Now, understand what John was saying. Everybody could see it. He has just said, in human terms, I'm older than he is. I came first. But he existed before I did. That's what he's saying. He was before me. Again, he makes the same statement in verse 30. After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. John, in other words, is witnessing to something so profound that his hearers could not begin really to grasp it. But it was essential that this witness be made. There stands one among you whom ye know not. When you get to look at him, as I pointed out last week, he looks like a man. He is a man. You talk to him like a man. You interact with him as a man. He is a man. And while he's a true man, do not lose sight of this fact, that there's more to him than meets the eye. He was before me. He existed from eternity. This is one of John's first great witnesses to the essential eternal deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Jesus steps out on his public ministry, he acknowledges the truth of that witness and he receives it because it is the very revelation of God. Apostates very often say that Jesus never claimed to be God, that that's something that was dreamed up by his disciples later, that it's something that especially Paul imposed upon the simple message of Jesus, the man of Nazareth, that Jesus never claimed to be God. These men are not only liars, they are fools. You read the gospel narratives, and Jesus claimed to be God. And nowhere more clearly than in his dealings with the first disciples, given what John had just said. What kind of a person would it make Jesus Christ of Nazareth if he acted on what John had said and expected others to act on what John had said if all the time he himself didn't believe it? He certainly set himself forth to be the pre-existent one, the eternal one. As John said earlier, the Word incarnate. Then John the Baptist said that he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, understand what this means. John says, I baptize with water. That water signified certain things. Obviously, it signified cleansing. Water is a purifying agent. It signified cleansing. I think if you take the whole Old Testament witness on this subject of purifying water, starting way back with Numbers chapter 19 and going right through, you'll see that John's baptism as a purification was a separation of people unto God, a renewing of their hearts and their minds and their wills. It was the symbol of a new heart and a new relationship. They had repented and they had got right with God. And it was sealed and signified by their baptism. Now he says, I baptize you with water. That's the symbol. but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's the reality. You see, it is not baptism in water that unites a person to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, namely the body of Christ. It is the baptism of the Spirit that makes a man a Christian. It is the baptism of the Spirit that is regeneration, that is the true circumcision of heart, that is the true purification of soul, that is real salvation. It's a spiritual work. When you externalize salvation and you reduce it to rites and rituals, whether it's baptism or eating and drinking the bread and wine at the Lord's table or any other external ritual, you're missing the whole point. Those things are all very important, but they're merely symbolic. And John is saying, I do not have the power to regenerate you. But he does.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.